Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you this morning for this gathering that you said when two or more gather in your name, you're in the midst. We got more than two here, so we thank you. You're in our midst. We're gathering in your name. We're gathering in agreement with you, in agreement with your spirit. And so we thank you for what you're going to do this morning. We thank you for what you're doing already in Orleans County. We thank you, Lord. We just excited about what you're doing. We thank you that we are at one of the best times in history to see the power of your spirit move throughout the land. And we come in agreement with that. Now, Lord, just open our eyes more to your word this morning as we get into it. Give us understanding, revelation, impartation this morning, that we would be more equipped to cooperate with you and and to work with your spirit in this community and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. And I'm feeling great this morning. These are really our exciting times, right? It's exciting to hear and see what God is doing on this end of the state, the Western New York end of our state. And it's just exciting to see what God's doing all around the state and the nation. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. And I firmly believe, as I run with the tribes that believe, God is getting ready to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And we are getting ready to see the greatest move of God that the earth has ever seen in our day, in our time. God is going to take all of the moves of God and put them together as one and pour it out. Now, I don't think any of us can imagine what that looks like, but God is not finished yet. The work he begun, he's faithful to complete. And if you know our history here in New York, in the Second Great Awakening, we all talk about it under Finney, and there was more moves of that. But that was the most powerful move of God up here that we've seen transformation occur. And again, Rochester was documented in this region as the only city at that time of that awakening that was documented as transformed. So we have a history, and it touched all of this area. We have a history, and God has marked us. So, and he's not done. He's going to finish. It's going to be greater this time than it was before. And so God is looking for his body to rise up as intercessors in to come into partnership with him, in agreement with him, so he can do what he wants to do, because he works through man. And when I say man, I mean male, female. It's no gender. I'll talk about that a little bit. He works through us, his people, so he need our partnership here on earth so he can do what he want to do. It was one of the powerful intercessors of old. I can't think of which one it was, but he said God does absolutely nothing except through prayer, the praying church. And so, God is sovereign. He's this vast, big God. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. But yet, he himself chose to depend on us down here on earth to get the job done, what he wanted to do on earth. He chose that. Doesn't mess with his sovereignty and who he is at all. He just set it up that way, that what he want to do in on this end of the kingdom, the earth, he want to do it through his people. So go to Genesis 1 for a minute. I'm going to share things with you that I know you know already. You've heard talk. I'm just going to kind of talk this morning and about a few things that I think will encourage you. It doesn't matter where you're at. I think if we grab a hold of this some of this stuff more and more this morning and get a better understanding, I think we'll understand how to cooperate with God purposely. Amen. And it doesn't hurt to hear these things over and over, because we learn by repetition. The more we hear it, the more we talk about it, the more we apply it, the more we understand it. And so I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about, you know, what is our role down here on earth? You know, why are we here? You know, I don't know if you've given that any thought lately. I'm sure you have. But I kind of ponder those thoughts all the time now. It helps me to stay in a perspective of, in the midst of all, perspective as to why God's got me in the earth realm for such a time as this. And it helps me keep the perspective on why I'm here. And it prioritizes my life. I can set my priority if I understand why I'm in the earth realm right now. Such a time as this, I can prioritize. So let's look at Genesis 1 for a minute here. I may cough a little bit. I got a tickle in my throat, nothing else. I'm okay. All right. So let's look at it. I'm going to read a few scriptures. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. Jump over to Genesis, the next page, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, us, make man in our image, according to our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth." So you see, man is to rule over the air, the water, and the earth. The air, the water, and the earth we are to rule over. Every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. And God created man in his image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, birds of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth." Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust, from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Now, what does this have to do with prayer? Hang on a minute. I want to slow down and just talk a little bit. Well, it has everything to do with prayer, because here you see in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, which is that word "in" is the Hebrew word connect, that connecting word. So God created heaven and connected earth with heaven. It was heaven and earth connected together. God created. So we see God creating in the beginning the earth and mankind, male, female, and placing us here in the earth, right? So now you see in Genesis 1, and I don't know, scholars say they think there was something that caused the earth to become formless, because that word literally means a wasteland or desolation, a worthless place, a wilderness, or chaos or disorder. The word "formless" there says the earth was formless. So we know God's not the author of chaos. in disorder. He's the God of order. He didn't create the confusion that was there at the time. So, and it says darkness was over the face of the earth. So we see that when you study that word, Hebrew word darkness there, it's not just a physical darkness. It's a spiritual darkness that can be felt. So you see, we see this formless, this wasteness, this confusion, this disorder that came in, this void. Earth was formless and void, emptiness. We see this coming in, and some believe it was from the war in the heavenlies. We go over in Revelation where Michael the archangel fought and Satan fell, and at this time it created this disorder and so forth. But I ain't got time to get into all of that and those theories on that. The point I want to make is the earth at this point was in chaos. What word we keep hearing today? What's going on in our communities? Chaos, disorder. People are walking around a walking wilderness, dry, empty, void. It says the emptiness, the word void, formless and void. So we got people walking around our communities that's formless and void. They empty of Christ's spirit. They don't have Christ formed in them. They don't know him. So we got cities and communities that's formless and void of the Spirit of God and people. People are walking desert. Darkness is hovering over people's lives. People are confused. They're uncertain about the times they live in. They're all around our communities. So this is a picture for now in our communities. Right? But it says the Spirit of God was hovering over all of it. Holy Spirit is still hovering today over these cities and communities. He's hovering over Albion. He's hovering over Orleans County, to put it in here because we hear it today. He's hovering. And he's waiting for something. He was hovering over all of this chaos, all of this disorder, all of this emptiness, this waste that had occurred. Holy Spirit was hovering. Just think about that a minute. Think about what's going on in your community. And then think, Holy Spirit is hovering. Over this darkness, over, he's just hovering. Hebrew word wakaf, he's just hovering. And it's an interesting word because he was hovering. The Hebrew language is picture. It literally means as a man hovers over his wife in intimacy. That's the literary meaning of the word there, hovering. He wants to burst something and bring forth, but he's hovering over all of the chaos and the emptiness and the disorder, but he can't birth things until he hear a voice. He's waiting for the voice of the Lord. He's waiting because it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working. He's waiting for God to start speaking and say, let it be. And the minute Jesus said, let there be light, Holy Spirit instantly brought forth light. He started executing the word of the Lord to bring forth order, light out of darkness, order out of disorder, peace out of chaos. He just started moving at the word of the Lord. Everything God was saying, Holy Spirit was bringing it forth. So what is God waiting on? I'm talking about our role right now. This is our role in here. So what is Holy Spirit waiting on in Albion? Exactly. He's waiting on the word of the Lord. He's hovering, waiting now for the word of the Lord to come through his people. So whatever situation, whatever you see in the community, you guys were naming stuff a few minutes ago, because that's probably your assignment if you have that on your heart. That's probably what God's calling you to go and start speaking into it. Order. Start speaking the word of the Lord into it. And watch Holy Spirit start executing it and moving. So whatever is in this community that's of disorder, that's of chaos, that's of emptiness, that you know that's not the will of God. Whatever in this community that you know is not the will of God, Holy Spirit is hovering over it and waiting for you to speak into it the word of God in the will of God. And then he can move and start bringing forth the will of God. So this is, it's just powerful stuff. So let's look at a few words here. So God created man in his image, his likeness. It's a, the word image, selem, it's an interesting word. It really means resemblance or represented figure, a phantom, illusion. That's interesting to me because if you study those words, basically it's saying Adam looked like God. You look at him and you think you're looking at God, but it's really not God. He's not God, but he's so much like God. And man, is that God? It's like, you know, people tell me all my life, "Boy, you look so much like your dad." I've had people mistake me for my dad in supermarkets, call his name. I look like him, but I'm not him. I'm just like him, got ways like him, mannerisms like him. And they go, and when they get close enough, they go, "Wow, I thought you were your daddy. You talk like him, you act like him." That's the way Adam was. That's what that word means, image. He was the exact representation of God in the earth. So God created this earth, this portion of the kingdom, and he put mankind, male and female, here to govern it for him. I know we know this stuff, but we need to be reminded. Likeness is the same word, a model or resemblance. Similitude is another word. He was so much like God. He looked like God. You could have looked at him and mistaked him for God. Ponder that for a minute. You could look at Adam and mistake him for God because he was so much like God, in the image of God and in the likeness of God. Then God told him, gave him authority, said, "Have dominion, rule," gave mankind authority. Tread down, it means subjugate. Have dominion, prevail against, reign, or you know what else this word means? Take over. So obviously, God was warning him, there's an enemy there at the gate of the garden here. He hadn't gotten in yet, but he's there. I want you to rule over him. I want you to bring him under submission. You know what literally what God was telling him to do? "I'm giving you authority over the earth. I created this earth, this portion of my kingdom, and I created you. And I'm giving you the authority to rule this portion of the kingdom, to govern this portion of the kingdom for me." And now there's an enemy there. I'm paraphrasing. This is what I believe he was telling him. And he says, "Use your authority to bring that enemy under my governance, under your governance. Because you have the authority. You govern over him." See, this is what God's bringing us back to in our community. See, the enemy, obviously we know he's in our communities, but you here too. Guess who has the authority? Guess who God gave the authority to? And he says, "Bring him under your authority." You see what he's doing in the community? You see that what he's, you know, how he's working and how he's creating. Bring it under your authority. That's literally what he was telling them. You govern it. You govern the community. Wherever the community is out of my will, you get in there and you govern it. You bring it back into my will. Start speaking my word into it. Start prophesying into it. Start making decrees into it. My word, not your opinion, not what the news say, not what any man's opinion, but my word. And bring it under your authority that I've given you in that community. In this case, it was the whole earth. Prevail against your enemy. Take it over. I love that. Literally, it means take it over. God's telling his people, rise up, take it over. Not in a bad sense, you know what I mean? Spiritually, take dominion spiritually. And on the ground too, by the way. Take it over. You know? And I think believers in communities got to wake up, because usually the prayer meetings are the most, prayer meetings are the most empty meetings in the, you know, I know God only need 2 or 3 to agree, but I know that, but the prayer meetings is always empty. We always usually have 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 or 10. But any other events, the house is packed out. See, there's got to be a change. Because that tells you where the priorities are. Because people don't understand why God has them here for such a time as this to represent him and the earth. You don't understand that. Because if you understand that, you'll be joining together to rule and to bring the enemy under your, under subjection, under governance, under God's governance. And we'll start seeing a corporate anointing happen and things will start shifting the atmosphere. I'll talk a little more about that. So God created and made us, right? And this is important. This is just foundational stuff, but it's the most important stuff to understand. If we're moving in prayer, intercession, spiritual warfare, and all that, we need to understand. So God created and made man in his image and his likeness. Now, that word create, that Hebrew word bara, B-A-R-A, created, when it is used, when it says God created the earth, and it's the same word that's used when it says God created man. Now, I'm giving you these words because it's important for us to understand this when we're moving in prayer and intercession. Why? This word is only used of God as creator. So if he created man and mankind, male and female, in his image and likeness, what is that telling us? The word means to create something out of nothing. And only God can do that. He did it with the heavens and earth, and he did it with us. So God just said, let it be, and it came, and it was. So why am I saying that? Because what image are we created in? What does he mean by that image? Well, John 4 tells us, Jesus talking to the woman at the well in John 4, 24, he says, God is spirit. So when he created man, he created, we're spirits. Hebrews 12, 9 says, God is father of spirits. Huh, interesting. See, we don't see ourselves as spirits. We're spirits. We're spirit children. That's important to understand, because we're not just dealing with this natural realm. We're dealing with a spirit realm because we're spirits. We're territorial spirits. I know we don't think this way. We just think of demons and territorial demons. But you know you have authority over any demon in this community? Do you know you're a spirit too? And see, when we don't think that way, we kind of think natural. And we try to deal with things in our community on the natural level. Just the physical, you can't do that. Because it's a spiritual issue. The root of it is spiritual. And so I think now I'm a spirit. I'm operating as a spirit in my city. I have authority in the spirit. So now I have to discern in the spirit. Now I have to operate in the spirit. You see my point? I'm not just looking at things naturally. I'm not just trying to change things from a natural perspective or standpoint. I'm looking now to deal in the spirit realm. And then the natural realm will change. So I got to start talking like God in the spirit. So he created us in his image and his likeness. And Genesis 2:7 there says that he made man. He formed man from the dust of the ground. Obviously, that's just, I mean, you know this stuff, but it's good to be reminded. And then he breathed spirit. We came right out of God. Let me say that again. We came right out of God. He breathed. Stood man face to face and went, and then we became a living being. Spirit, we're spirit. And it's important for us to understand that so we operate in the spirit realm. So let's look at what happened. So in Luke 4:6, it's interesting what Satan, let's look at what happened to all of this, how we got off. So if that's the case, we're spirits and we have the dominion, we have the authority, then why is the devil wreaking havoc in our cities and in our communities, if that's the case? You ever thought of that? Why is he allowed to do what he's doing? Why is he allowed to tear up our communities and people's lives? And let me say this. Why is he allowed to tear up Christians' lives? Well, we destroy it for lack of knowledge. People don't understand what I'm talking about today. So in Luke 4:6, Satan shows Jesus. Let me just go read it. I'm going to slow down. I'm just talking today. Is that okay? I'm going to go for a little bit. And I'll go for another 10, 15 minutes. We'll take a break, right? So Luke 4, this is the temptation of Jesus. Look at what Satan is. It's only recorded in Luke. It says, and the devil said to him, which is Jesus, I will give you all this domain. He's showing him all of the earth and the systems and structures of the earth. He said, all of this domain. He said, I'll give it all to you and its glory. Listen at what he told Jesus. For it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Now, who handed it over to him? Exactly. Who's handing it over to him today? Exactly. Who did God give it to, really? The authority. The dominion to. To us. Yeah, he gave it to Adam, and who's he giving it to today? Exactly. He used the same word God used in Genesis, dominion, domain. He said kingdom. He's using kingdom language that God used. This kingdom and the glory of this kingdom has been handed over to me. And I'll give it to whoever I wish. See, and he's doing that today too. He's giving it to those that's worshiping him. Because that's what he was trying to get Jesus to do, worship him. But he's doing it illegal because the church don't understand this stuff right here. We're handing it over to Satan, our communities, so he can give the dominion and the resources over to whoever worship him. But another Adam came and got it back. And we know who that is, Lord Jesus. Because in Matthew 28, verse 18, we know he went to the cross. And notice Jesus didn't argue with him either. Because Jesus knew Jesus knew Adam gave it over, but Jesus also knew he was there to get it back. Right? So he didn't have to argue with him. Because in Matthew 28, when the commission there, before Jesus tell him to go, look at what he told him. He said, Jesus says to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. This is after the cross. Now he's commissioning them to go. He said, now I've got the authority back that Adam submitted to Satan. I got it back now. And not some authority, all authority has been given back to me. I have it in heaven and I have it on the earth rim. Now go make disciples, go preach the gospel and so forth. Turn me to Luke 10:19. So now Jesus has all authority back. He's got it back. And he's given it to us. He restores the authority back to mankind. Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give you what? Authority to what? Tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing should injure you. So coronavirus should not injure you. Because he said nothing. Jesus said, I got all authority over disease and sickness. So nothing. So when we're moving in intercession, we got to shift it the way we're thinking and how we're moving. Because he said, all authority now, I got the authority back in heaven and earth, and now I give it back to you. And notice what he says there in Luke 10:19. Notice he says, he didn't say anything about the authority of the enemy, but he said his power. Yeah, Luke 10:19. No, you can write that down, though. That's good, too. The end of Mark and Matthew 28, those commissions, because he says there's some different things in both. Put them both together, and that covers everything. That covers harvest, casting out demons, healing people, getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit, and also covers bringing discipling nations or discipling your community into transformation. So both of those commissions cover everything. And he says, I've given you authority over all the works of the enemy, over his power. Notice he didn't say over the authority of the enemy, he said, but over the power. Because Jesus understood something here. The whole issue here is authority. The legal right to use your power. So the Lord was saying, I've given you legal right. I'm restoring your legal right. As my representative in the earth, I am giving you now, I'm transferring the authority back. So the enemy, he didn't address the authority of the enemy because he took the authority back that Adam gave him. But he still has his power, as we see in our communities, to work evil. But the Lord said, I'm giving you authority over his power. So go tread upon him. He said it, to tread upon him. Get him under your feet, in other words, he's saying. So we have it back. So if we have it back, the question is, What are we going to do with it? Now, I know you guys are rising up, but you got a large portion. I got a large portion of my city, and we got a large portion of believers that God's trying to get to understand this, because he's trying to raise up a corporate body to understand this. There's a corporate anointing, you know, that'll come invade a community. And when that happens, look out. That community will shift. The whole atmosphere of the community will shift. Things that you couldn't get done will start getting done like that. When a corporate anointing comes in, when you get a remnant to understand this and rise up in the authority and start legislating, because we are government. Matthew 16, now I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But we're government. We're a governing family. And so when you have when the Lord says, I got your governing family, I've given you authority, I'm giving you keys to unlock and to close, to lock up and to close, to bind and loose. Those are court terms. Those are governmental terms. They're forbid and to allow. I'm way ahead of myself, but that's what he said in Matthew 16. When Jesus said, I'll build my church. The English word church is not in the original text. It's the word ecclesia, government. It wasn't a religious word in Matthew 16. So, man, I don't want to go there now. I'm way ahead of myself. But I'll go there a little bit in a minute. So he's giving us the authority back. What are we going to do with it? See, that's the question. Okay, a couple more things and then I'll break. Dutch Sheet says this. This is interesting. He said, man was forever to be linked to the authority over the earth. This is the reason for the necessity of prayer. Man was forever to be linked to the authority over the earth. This is the reason for the necessity of prayer. We exercise that authority in prayer. And God expects us to do that. So, we hit two things here. We're going to learn how to, and I had to learn this. We're going to learn how to stop asking God to do what he's told us to do. And we're going to learn how to stop asking him to do what he's already done. Did you get that? We spend too much time asking God to do what he's already done, or asking him to do what he told us to do. He said, you take dominion over. That's disorder, that chaos. He said, you get in there and start speaking my word. Start using the authority that I've given you. Take dominion over. Speak to it. Speak order in it. And do it until it happens. Some of this stuff has been entrenched for a while. We gotta be persistent. We're going to show you that in a minute. So God, I'm going to give you a couple more and then we'll break. So God used men like Elijah. Elijah, the prophets understood this. Elijah understood it. Daniel understood it. Ezekiel understood. Ezekiel 22:30. You know, God was looking for, he literally said, this is the famous intercessory verse. God's getting ready to judge the land because of all of the corruption in his house and all throughout the land in Ezekiel 22. And you get down to verse 30, God said, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap and build up a hedge of protection, but I couldn't find nobody. So I had to go ahead and release my wrath in the earth, he said. So God's looking for an intercessor. I mean, he forever lives, Hebrews says, to intercede for us. He's still interceding for us. It says he forever lives to do it. So, but down here on earth, he's looking for intercessors. He's looking for somebody to stand in the gap so the plague could be checked. I mean, when plagues and pestilence, when these things was released among Israel and in the land as judgments, somebody had to get it in there as an intercessor to stop it. Aaron, Moses, situation with David, made a wrong decision. So, and I'm not trying to say God's behind this stuff. Is he? I know the devil's behind it, but when see, I don't want to go off into that, but I will comment on this. God would literally say, "I'll send pestilence on you." God Himself would tell the people that. Now, did He literally send it, or did He allow it? Yeah. Because of the sins of the nation, because of the sins on the land. We've been talking about sins on the land, how it opens the door up to war, pestilence, disease, the judgments that famine, drought. This is all right in Scripture. And God's looking for intercessors to cry out for mercy and to repent. And I'm going to show you that in a minute for their communities to get the protection back around their communities. Because there's so many people unprotected. They don't know Jesus. They don't have the blood over them on their doorpost. I mean, when these things went through Egypt, God was looking for the blood. Those that had the blood on the doorpost was protected. Come on here. This is still happening. And it's time the church wake up to this and say, hey, get in prayer here. Get in your intercessor. God's looking for intercessors. Rise up, church, intercede. Thank God he only saw, he said, a man, one. He was looking for somebody. But it would be good if he can get most believers in a community praying together as intercessors. I mean, the level of power. Can you imagine the level of power and authority that will release when you get the body of Christ, a majority of the body of Christ in a city? I mean, God don't need everybody. I know that. He just needs a remnant. But boy, if you can get a good, strong remnant that's in agreement, that understand this, can you imagine that kind of synergy and what that will release in a community? The level of power would go way up.